This is the Friday, January 6th, 2017 version of the market analysis segment for Market to Market. A surprising rally in the Chinese yuan, coupled with South American weather concerns, fueled the markets. For the week, March wheat again improved 15 cents and took the nearby corn contract along for the ride with a 6-cent gain. South American weather concerns waned by the week's end, and the March soybean contract gave back 9 cents. March meal declined $5.30 per ton. In the softs, March cotton expanded $3.34 per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, January Class 3 milk futures improved 14 cents. An across-the-board sell-off in the livestock sector as the February cattle contract shed $1.22, March feeders dropped $1.30, and the February lean hog contract gave back last week's gains, weakening $4.10. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index was off 8 basis points. Crude oil gained 27 cents per barrel. Gold gained buyers, improving $21.70 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs Commodity Index improved 0.5 point to finish the week at 398.25. Here now to lend us his insight on these and other trends is one of our regular market analysts, Ted Seifert. Ted, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Before we get started, you can listen to our market discussion anytime by downloading our market analysis podcast on our website, iptv.org/M2M. Ted, this was an interesting week, particularly in the currency markets. Mm-hmm. The U.S. dollar rallied like crazy early in the week, broke hard. Have we put in the top on the U.S. dollar?
Ooh, that's a great question. I don't think we have, just mainly because I don't think we're done raising rates, and I don't see anybody else who's going to get more aggressive on rates than what we might do. But, you know, when we talk a lot of time when we talk about tops, we talk about exhaustion blow-offs. And you can kind of see the case for that. I don't think so. I mean, we kind of did it really when we were still kind of hanging on to, you know, thinner holiday trade. And so I don't know how much stock we put into that. Just like, you know, the big sweeping reversals we saw in cattle and hogs last Friday, or, you know, the Friday before New Year's. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's on a chart. It's there. But low volume. You got to take that with a little bit of a grain of salt. We'll see. But I think the dollar has more upside yet.
Okay. But this break in the dollar certainly appears as though it's been a wind at the back of the wheat market.
Yeah, a little bit. We've definitely gotten some strength from that. Wheat has some other things going on, too.
Exactly. And that's one of the questions we've got from our Twitter follower. Tim in Minnesota is asking, as temperatures drop, he says it's negative 18 up there in Minnesota. Wheat is heating up. How much more upside before I sell more old crop wheat?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think you want to look at that as a scale-in sort of strategy. And you can use sort of the similar strategy, what we've done in row crops over the last couple of years. And I think now is a great time to do that for wheat. We were actually going in and buying calls for producers so that we could sell cash on a rally without giving up that upside potential. And calls were very, very cheap. But I think you got to start looking at that now, because I think we've seen in recent history that rallies in wheat can be very fragile. So I think you do want to take any sort of opportunities you get to start pricing in, but you do want to keep some of that upside potential open. Funds are very, very short. I've been talking about this for a while. If they want to get out of their short position for whatever reason, there could be a lot of legs and say 40 to 60 cents. But I don't know if we have anything yet to say that they're going to get flat or go long the wheat market. Okay. If anything, they may have trimmed their short position, but they could be waiting to put that right back on again.
Okay. Now, wheat has been one of those markets that it seems like as we start the new year, everybody talks about where is the profitable trade in X year.
Right.
Wheat's been one of those thrown around. Folks are anticipating that short covering by the spec funds?
Yeah. Well, there's certainly that. I mean, when we look for things like that, we look at the makeup of markets and who's short what. And, you know, if you've got a very large speculative position, a lot of times that's an interesting market to take the opposite side of. But also, you know, there's been what seems to be an interest in commodities as a whole from the large speculators, from the funds. And what they're looking for is they're looking for value. They're looking for commodities that are near their lower end of their, you know, the five-year ranges and inflation-adjusted, you know, value. Mm-hmm. You see that in wheat. You see that in corn a little bit. And you know, getting into the new year, I think we've seen some of that trade in the market where you've got the speculators, certain speculators looking for that specific setup, and I think they found it to some extent in wheat, but also a little bit in corn.
And so a little bit in corn. We saw corn move 6 cents to the upside today on the or this week on the nearby contract. Was that solely spillover support from the wheat market, or are there fundamental factors going on that, that get you a little excited about the corn market?
Well, I think it's mostly spillover from the wheat market, which is very much tied into the dollar. So if you put those two together, I think that's most of it. But, you know, we've got a report coming up from the USDA. I'm interested to see if we're going to see, you know, a lot of people are talking about the USDA needing to increase soybean acres yet, and that might mean less corn acres. I'm interested to see if that 175 national average yield holds. I'm kind of wondering if that comes down. Maybe that's a little bit high. That's typically when we have the USDA give us a record yield in September, October, usually that number comes back down just a little bit. So maybe we're looking at a smaller production number. But, you know, overall, the acreage conversation is there too. Mm-hmm. So we're getting into that time frame where corn may want to not give up as many acres as what some people are forecasting at the moment. So if you look at the corn-bean ratio, corn might want to hold its own, if not do a little bit better going forward.
Climb a little bit. Yeah. So now, as we look out to next Friday in that USDA final report, do you anticipate any shocks? I mean, if we get a slightly smaller corn yield number, is that going to be a big market mover?
Yeah, I got to say, we're not going to do anything to put this corn crop to a point where we're going to go from a, you know, a 2.4 plus billion bushel carryover to, like, say, a 1.6. Okay, but, you know, I submit my numbers. We're one of the firms that submit our numbers. And, you know, looking at that, I'm on the lower end as far as my production number, as far as my yield number, and as far as my acreage number is concerned. So maybe, you know, but the surprise can go either way. I mean, if that number comes in larger and it were at a 2.6 or 2.7 billion bushel carryover, I'll say this. This January report has a tendency to give us some big moves in the market.
We
tend to get some surprises on this report.
If I'm sitting with a lot of unpriced old crop corn, if I'm still sitting on some unpriced old crop beans, what would I be doing to mitigate some of that stress come next Friday?
Well, we got kind of heavy on Friday this week, so it kind of took a little bit of your options off the table.
Okay.
But, you know, March 350 puts were going for 3.5 to 5 cents.
Okay.
I even got some off early in the day on Friday at 5.25 to 5.5.
Okay.
And I think it's a great way to take some protection for, you can look at that as both old crop and new crop.
Right.
For just sort of a Band-Aid to say, let's get through this report. Let's get through South American weather. January and February tend to be heavy months for grains markets, corn and soybeans in particular, if we're not getting a South American weather issue. So I think that that time frame wise works very well for me. And price wise, I think that was pretty value.
South American weather. We had Argentina be a lot of ground was flooded, maybe up to 5 acres. Hasn't been much of a market mover. Still looks like a big crop down there. Are beans just in a downward trend here, trying to tighten up that ratio between corn and beans?
Well, we did have that reversal higher in soybeans Wednesday, I believe. And until we take out the lows there, that buy signal is still intact on a chart.
Okay.
So we'll see. We didn't quite do that on Friday. Might do it first thing on Monday. So, you know, take that with a grain of salt and watch that closely Sunday night, Monday. But for the moment, you know, possibly downside is the downside potential very much there for soybeans if South American weather doesn't give us anything to talk about. At the moment, there's some small pockets of not the most major producing areas that we're looking at. The concern there is that if they do expand into the more major producing areas, then we have something to talk about. As far as the flooding in Argentina, I think more than anything else, that is a question of acreage. That's going to get planted. The potential is going to be there, but you may be losing some corn acres in Argentina that could be going back to soybeans, which that's not necessarily bullish for soybeans, but might be a little bit supportive for corn. But South American weather, you know, I mean, that's really the ticket right now. If we don't have a problem with South American weather, things could get rather heavy between now and the end of February, you know, so it could be.
And from a producer's perspective, you're not heavy, using heavy in a good way.
No, things
could move downward.
Yes, prices lower.
Fairly quickly.
Yes.
Let's take a look at the livestock market.
Yep.
We had cash trade most of the week around 118. We did see a little bit of a step back here on the board. Is this just a correction from that nice rally we've had for the past month and a half?
I think it's a couple of things. Yes, it's a bit of a correction. I mean, we had gotten a little bit overbought, and, you know, at some point, you got to take a breather. And so we've done that. But to some extent, and we've been saying this for a couple months now, I think it's very interesting that, you know, normally this time, or well, normally, period, we have futures trading at a premium to cash. And we're trading a discount, a pretty decent discount to cash right now. And you wonder if that's the futures market being very reluctant to embrace the strength in cash and trying to predict that cash softening over time. I think there's a good chance that that might happen. Okay. I think you could have a deeper correction in cattle at some time in the relatively near future.
The 6 to 8 week time frame?
Well, again, I don't know how much stock we want to put into it because it was thin holiday trade.
Right.
But we did have that big outside sweeping reversal down day the Friday before the New Year's holiday. That's usually a big red flag that, hey, either the high's in or we're getting really close to it.
Okay.
You know, so from a technical perspective, yeah, I think maybe sooner rather than later. Now the question is, you know, from there, do we recover and go and test those highs again? There's a lot of what ifs in that. A big one is demand. Are we going to expand demand? Is China going to make good on, well, they said they were going to start importing U.S. beef in a big way by the end of the calendar year. That didn't happen. Is that going to happen in the first or second quarter? We'll see. But if we don't have that, we'll keep watching weights. I mean, we've had our bouts of some very cold temperatures, and weights have been a concern. But there's a lot of beef in cold storage.
You bet.
And, you know, you could see a fairly deep correction in cattle at some point.
And do you expect feeder cattle just to follow right along with corn in this range?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Corn's going to be a big driver for feeders going forward.
All right. Let's take a look at this lean hog market.
Yeah.
Again, it's got that incredible story throughout the year of a massive dip and then a major recovery. Mm-hmm. Now we sold off 410 here this last week. Have lean hogs topped out?
That's a really good question.
Okay.
You know, when we put a bottom in lean hogs, unlike the cattle where we have a V, or you can call it a checkoff bottom, you do have a nice little double bottom sort of formation in hogs. And then with the recent highs, you do have kind of a nice little matching double top formation. I think we had a compelling reason to rally off the lows like we did. In particular, we saw cold storage numbers. Well, at the time we were putting our lows in, we saw cold storage numbers coming in below expectations, yet we were looking at record kill weeks. That's a good sign for demand. But now that we've gotten through the peak demand season, Christmas hams and so on and so forth, you saw ham prices basically halve. And so products coming down, you do think that now is the time for a correction lower. But I wonder if what we just did was kind of carve out the range. Worst case scenario, I think, is carve out the range between the lows that we put in back in October and the highs that we put in just, you know, last week or
45 to 65 maybe is a range?
Yeah. I wonder if we trade sideways to maybe higher. Because if you look down, further down the pipeline in hogs, while weights have gotten bigger up front, and that kind of shows a little bit of a backlog there. But further down the pipeline, you do see supply starting to soften a little bit. So there's reasons to be somewhat optimistic for hogs. I don't think we're going to see new lows in hogs.
Okay.
But we could spend some time trading this range that we just carved out.
All right. Well, Ted Seifert, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
You're absolutely welcome.
That wraps up the broadcast portion of Market to Market. But Ted and I will keep the market conversation going, including answering more of your questions during Market Plus, available on our website. While you're there, check out this week's M2M podcast as we talk about globetrotting's impact on rural America. And join us again next week on the broadcast when we'll look at how a wood pellet company is finding new markets overseas. So until then, thanks for watching. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.